This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. You know you're in the right place. So, I wanted to talk today about AI. Well, everybody else is. I thought I should join in. We're going to talk about AI. Alpaca intelligence. Ah, now not everybody's talking about alpaca intelligence, are they? So, what is evident when you spend some time in front of an alpaca is that there's something behind the eyes. There's more behind the eyes than a lot of other animals. That's probably being unfair to the other animals. I think if you spend time around any animal, you're going to find there is more behind the eyes than you first assume. This is all to do with the way they communicate, the way they observe, and the kind of interactions that you can have with them. So alpacas, you're watching them, and then you realize you're being watched. It's a lovely feeling. It's a lovely but slightly disconcerting feeling. You're being watched. They don't miss a thing. Amazing. So yes, they're standing and they're watching you. Alpaca intelligence. They understand what's going on a lot of the time. There are times when we can surprise them. There are times when we can cause them consternation and even a little bit of panic. Certainly anxiety. They're intelligent animals, and the evidence for this I've found is that they have a choice about what they can do, and they make it. It's raining or it's dry. It's in here or out there. It's let's go for a walk down that path because there are brambles on there and there will be blackberries there soon. Or there's leaves to be eaten, or there's grass to be found, or there's little saplings to be walked through. We noticed the other day that the ash saplings, they're all about the same sort of height. I don't know whether they eat the top off of them and they just don't get any taller, or whether that's this year's saplings. Actually, they're too tall for this year's saplings. They must be a year or two's growth, I think, there. But they're quite small, and they are great for walking through and giving yourself a brush. And they do. There's a definite path that's off the path. There's the main path, and then there's another path alongside it, which is kind of where this string of ash saplings are. And they're walking off the path to get in and walk through and brush themselves. They know. They know what they want. They know what they can get from that particular path. And there are other times it's to do with the weather, where the wind's coming from. Let's go this way because we can shelter. Let's go this way because we want to stick our rear end into the wind. The boys do that, you know. They travel all the way down the far end of the valley, get to the where the fence is, and sort of settle down with their rear end facing into the northerly wind, which I would go the opposite way. I'd get out of it. But no, they're getting into the wind. It's very strange. Another one of those little mysteries. But that's alpaca intelligence for you. They know what they want. They know how to get it. Be many things that they will be aware of. They've developed memories and patterns of my behavior, patterns of other animals' behavior. They know that ducks are safe. They're watching them as they're walking them in the goose yard down here. But interestingly, the moorhens and the moorhen chicks have found that being around the alpacas is okay. It's not a threat. There's a particular route I come and step over the wall, and then I can be seen by the alpacas, and I can be seen by the moorhens down in the goose yard there. And they make a run for it. They head for the water. They scoot themselves across the surface, head back for the safety of the island. It's a bulrush island in the middle of the lake where they got more safety over there. And they'll take themselves off. They've seen me coming and they've seen something that they don't want to have anything to do with. Thank you very much. So they'll go off and hide. But the alpacas are not seen as a threat and they'll stay around. The alpacas don't see the birds as a threat either. There's curiosity, there's interest, but they're not seen as a threat. So Alpaca intelligence is very good at identifying threats, of noticing things at a distance, of noticing movements, of noticing potential problems. The other day I was sat at my desk, and from my desk I can see the alpacas in the field just in front of me here. And, well, there you go. That was interesting. They're all facing in the same direction. There must be something going on. I couldn't work out what it was, so I headed off, went across and got into position where I could see where they were all looking to. And on the top of a fence was a cat. It was the black and white cat. I haven't seen it for ages, but it's obviously come back, and it had been in the stable, I think, keeping dry. And it come out, and then there was the alarm cry. Again, who's this doing the alarm cry? That's really interesting. It was Wenna, the little brown one. What's she doing? She's taken on that role of being the guard and the one who alerts the rest of the herd to a sense of danger. It's a demonstration of alpaca intelligence. We can learn from them, certainly learn about them by watching them and observing, noticing what the trigger is or what the stimulation is, the stimulus is that's caused them to respond. But also we can watch out for each other. We can learn from alpacas, following alpaca intelligence, looking out for each other. Actually, the herd is important. The group of people that we're connected to, it's important. And that's obviously family, but the wider group, friends, the local community, but also the bigger community, the world. Oh, that's big, isn't it? And we're all connected. We're all part of the same thing. We need to be watching out for each other. And on occasion, a sounding the alarm cry when there really is a threat. Don't cry wolf, but we can learn how to watch out for each other. I like the idea that I'm being watched, that I'm being noticed, that I'm being seen and heard by the alpacas. And most of the time, it's a pleasant thing for them. They're not too bothered. Alpaca intelligence, available to you, wherever you are. So I need to go see my alpacas, actually. The girls need their usual attentions at this time of the morning. So I'm going to head down and see how they are. So here we are on breakfast time. And I'm sheltering in the stable, waiting for the rain to stop. It looks like a bright sky further over there. Is that where the weather's coming from? Not sure. I think so. There's hardly any wind, so it's difficult to tell. But the rain is falling. Heavy showers in the night and sort of stuff, kind of. But I've told you before how lucky we are here. Whenever there's a low chance of rain, we seem to have it. So we're lucky we get the rain, which sometimes we definitely want, and other times we kind of think we've had enough. Oh dear. So most of the girls came back and they're inside. There's no food now because they finished all that, but at least they're out of the sudden showers. They don't like sudden showers. There's something about that they feel like they need to escape from it. Whereas there are times when they will graze quite happily out in the rain. And that's just the way it is. So, are we finished with summer? I don't know. I don't know what these seasons are doing these days. It seems to be all over the place. I remember bits. Do you remember from childhood that seems to concertina the bits and the long, hot summers, the school holidays? Well, they whiz by anyway. Now, I suppose they did then to some extent as well. But I'm not sure they were all long and hot as we remember. But there's variability. And looking at the weather and when the school is due to go back, the longer term forecast, they're just not far away now for the UK. Just next week, I think. Are we next week? Somewhere there. And the weather looks like it's set to change and get really warm and hot and sunny all next week when the kids go back to school. I suppose that's good. New school uniforms and not getting rained on. But it's kind of, yeah, slightly to be predicted, isn't it? That
when you want the good weather, you can't have it. When you want it dry, it's not dry. When you want it wet, it's not going to rain. Whatever we want, we're not happy with. We're dissatisfied because there would be something we'd rather have. There'd be something extra, more of this or longer of this or something. So we need to learn how to make the most of the moments that we have in the moment. In the moment, being present and enjoying things. That's my plea for half-hour holidays. You know, sometimes you can't get away, you can't cope with, whether it's health-wise or time-wise or capacity-wise or money-wise, whatever it is-wise, you can't manage a full, long holiday of a long, hot summer. So instead, why not have a half-hour holiday? Cup of coffee, would that be included in the holiday? You can have a cup of coffee. Or a cup of tea. Have a nice slice of bread and butter, or bread and jam, or toast, or a croissant, if you want to go continental, or something else that's appropriate, that isn't going to do you any harm, but is going to be a nice little treat. That would be good. Half-hour holiday. So add all those little bits in together, and either grab it anytime you can. There's a half hour. I'll use that. I'm going to stop. And I'm just going to be present. I'm just going to experience what's to be experienced. I'm going to stop and listen. What are the birds that are singing? There's the birds in the background. And the water running. This is an enforced half hour holiday. I'm not sure it's going to be half hour. I'm itching to get away from my dry spot here in the stable. But I thought I could come down and quickly feed the girls and come back home. And so I didn't bring a coat. That was clever, eh? So I'm waiting. I've done this before where I've sheltered under trees. Today I can shelter under the overhang of the stable. Do you know that's a really good thing to have, as an overhang? I really appreciate the overhang we've got here. It's a little, it's only a metre, a bit more. Perhaps only a metre, all the way in front of the doors and all the rest of it for the stable. So there's a little bit of protection, and there's a dry area you can get under. So you can be out, but you can be under the protection. So that's a good addition. That's probably, you need to put it in the design stage. So if you're building something, even if it's a field shelter, it's good to think about whether you can put in an overhang, something that comes out beyond the doorway, that comes out beyond the building, can be really helpful. So if you needed to hang up a bag of hay or put some food out and you want to spread it out and have some outside, then an overhang is really useful. It's really useful when it's raining because I can stand under it and I'm outside, but I'm also protected from getting too wet because I didn't bring my coat. Did I tell you that already? Yes, I did. Oh, it's such a thing. Why did I not bring my coat? I was being optimistic. Are you optimistic? I live with a level of, quite a high level of optimism of how much I can do, of what the weather's going to do and how it's going to hold. It's not going to rain. And what's going to happen that is going to be straightforward. Okay, my optimism is fairly high for all of these things. I guess, I don't know what kind of glass person that makes me. How is it full, half full? Have I got a glass? Is it overflowing? So we can be optimistic, and that's a good thing. I think generally it's a good thing to be optimistic, but we also got to be realistic, haven't we? So actually, down in the stable here, there's a coat hanging up on the back of the door. I did that because I thought, I don't want to get caught out. Backwards and forwards, I haven't brought a coat, but if I get stuck, then I need to have a coat available. So there's a coat hanging on the back of the door here in the stable. How prepared is that? That's well planned. And I forgot that my coat was here. I could have put my coat on. I still would have got a wet head. Oh no, there's a hat here as well. It's not as good as my wide-brimmed hat, my Tilly hat. So, planning, preparation, being optimistic, but also taking what's available, taking the things that are in front of you and enjoying the moments. As we're getting towards the end of the summer season, you might have gone back to school already. The kids might already be back at school, which may or may not affect you. I don't know whether, you know, it just depends. And in your life cycle stage, where are you with your responsibilities? But it could be, as we're drawing in the UK towards the end of summer, and elsewhere, I guess, therefore, we're drawing towards the end of the winter, then maybe can you perhaps maybe grab a half-hour holiday? Is that possible? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Needs a little bit of being spontaneous. Needs a little bit of planning. Then maybe you need something to sit on. Because it's been raining, and when it's finished... They're girls. This is Grumpy Gertie. Really? Well, that's interesting. This is Hermione trying to pull rank as a little one who's not that little, but she's not prepared to give ground. A little bit of food left in the corner of that trough, and she's not going to give ground. So a little bit of argy-bargy in the background. So, yeah, if you can, spend some time with your alpacas. That'll be good. Half-hour holiday, cup of tea, cup of coffee, or beverage of your preference, depending on the time of day, and breathe. Be in the moment. Hear the sounds, see the sights, think the thoughts, but just experience what is happening all around you at this moment. Half-hour holiday. There you go. My gift to you as we draw towards the end of this season. Summer or winter, depending on where you are in the world, or somewhere in between. So the sky has lightened, the rain has reduced and almost stopped. Or is that coming back again? It's a showery morning, I think. That's what we're going to have. So we'll do what we can with what we've got. And I'll catch you again soon. Take care. And breathe. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.